Lifted in by Sterling. There's one back. There's one back. Ilkay Gundogan got big at the back stick. And Rodri! It's happening again. Kevin De Bruyne! Gundogan! From the brink of despair, elation. From catastrophe, joy.
Yes, welcome back. It was an unbelievable morning. If that doesn't give you tingles, Jared,
no, it was good,
and remind you of that man's call of Aguero, then nothing will, because Manchester City secured an amazing title after three goal comeback against Aston Villa. It crushed Liverpool's quadruple dreams, and the man that called it has been good enough to get up early and join us on Sports. Hey, Peter Drury, welcome back. What another finish.
It was, wasn't it? It's funny. Everything gets compared to 2012 Aguero and all of that. I guess it wasn't quite in that category, but it was pretty close. The interesting thing was that there was never actually a moment on the day when Liverpool went top because of the order things happened in. But City certainly plays with fire, didn't they? But managed not to get their fingers burned, and it created fantastic drama.
Peter, were they flat early? Were they ill-disciplined? What sort of caused the 2-0 sort of drama that they faced?
Well, I guess old-fashioned Manchester City fans would just say it's sort of in the DNA of the club to have moments like that,
right,
and to create trauma before the drama. But more modern analysis, I suppose, of the team and the way they were is likely to say, not that they froze in the moment, because those guys have played very big games very often, all of them, but that somehow the pressure of the day just inhibited them a bit, and they certainly weren't themselves for the majority of the first hour or so. But they're so good, they are so good, that they could almost do it to order. And, you know, when the moment came, when the order was given, they just did it. And 3 goals in 6 minutes, and it was done.
So, Peter, what do you think this year will be, or this season will be, remembered for the Manchester City fans? Because their ability to hang on in really tough times against a rampant Liverpool side who were breathing down their neck was amazing. But I just can't help but think about what happened in the Champions League.
Yeah, well, the Champions League is a running sore. There's no question about that. And what happened when they played Real Madrid and lost in that startling way, and lost a game which, by the way, they had completely bossed. There didn't even feel any jeopardy around that game, and then, or very little, and somehow they found a way to lose it. You're right. Until they win the Champions League, that is going to be an issue with them, and it's going to nag away at them. But I guess in this immediate period, in the aftermath of what happened on Sunday, you know, they are entitled to enjoy what they have achieved, and holding off Liverpool in the way they did has been a fantastic achievement, and they are a terrific team. And somehow, although we were romanticising about the possibility of Liverpool winning all four, the great quadruple and so on, actually, in hindsight now, it would feel wrong if City hadn't won one of the prizes, because they're too good to go without reward, really, because they're brilliant.
So as we come to the conclusion of the season, you look at City and you ask yourself, what do they need to do as far as playing personnel to go further? Or have they got the personnel, as would seem to be evident, but they just need to get it right on the day?
Yeah, well, absolutely. As people will tell you, the European Cup or Champions League is after Christmas. Once you're through the group stage, it's a knockout competition.
Yeah.
So you can lose a one-off game, and that's exactly what happened to Manchester City, and it's done. In terms of personnel, it's hard to see how they strengthen the side beyond what they've already done, and that is bring in Erling Haaland, who is a centre-forward, the one that everybody wanted. They've spent gazillions on bringing him in, and he can be the point of difference. And a lot of people have said that if they'd had him this season, you know, that we wouldn't have had the great league title running that we have had, because they'd have just pulled away. With him in the team, it's going to be fascinating, because he is an absolute monster of a striker.
Do you think, Peter, we've reached a point, well, I know things change quickly, where it's difficult to see for at least a couple of seasons how anyone are going to catch City and Liverpool? I mean, Chelsea are in a really weird spot given their ownership. Manchester United look a long way back.
Well, they're coming to Melbourne to recruit.
Peter might be coming with them. Who knows? We'll have to ask. And then, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal haven't been the sides that they once were for quite some time.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And again, there's a theory that does the rounds here. And actually, I think it's a very reasonable one, that were it not for the fantastic charisma of Jurgen Klopp and the way he makes his Liverpool team function, then again, we would strip ourselves of the fantastic drama we had.
Yeah.
Because Liverpool have done brilliantly well to continue competing with Manchester City. And you're right, it's hard to see at the moment how Manchester City are going to lose their grip on it. You know, when Manchester City lose a game, this is not partisanship or disliking them. They're not a disliked club at all. But there's always an added thrill, because it's almost as if the football community is saying, phew, you know, they're not going to run away with it and win it by 15, 20 points. So it's an event when they lose. They're that good. And mercifully, Liverpool have kept it exciting this year. We'll see how Chelsea bounce back on the new ownership. As you say, Manchester United is just a brand new project. And listen, these words come back and haunt anyone, but I think we probably have to disregard them for a year or two in terms of who's likely to win the title.
Mm.
Arsenal are a very young team, gradually getting there, who just slipped up at the end of their project this year. And Spurs are Spurs. They always seem to be close without getting there. But with Conte, you just never know. But no, I mean, in short, the answer to your question is, logically, Manchester City remain the team for the foreseeable future.
Can I ask you about COVID and the impact it's had on this season, if any? I've got a daughter with a business over in the UK, and she says it's a non-factor. Nobody actually even addresses it anymore. If you're a crook, you can still go to work as long as you wear a mask. It's almost irrelevant. Is that the case in professional sports still?
It sort of feels that way. I mean, there has been an impact still of COVID on this season, insofar as back in our winter,
yep,
there were games still being postponed, and the rearrangement of them, the whole rescheduling of them, has made for a more frantic second half of the season. And in particular, the last week or two, they've had to catch up a lot of fixtures, and the timing of them and so on has been a subject for conversation. But essentially, and my goodness me, I'm nervous saying this, it feels as though we are, broadly speaking, back to normal, which is great. And I just say that with trepidation,
yep,
because, goodness me, it only takes, as you know very well, I know, because you've suffered a lot where you are, it only takes something to go wrong and you go back a month or two or six or 12. But at the moment, it feels as though it hasn't been a major factor, and cross fingers, won't be.
Well, the good news is, of course, United are coming over to Australia on a recruiting spree just to bolster their stocks. I assume, Peter, you'll be coming with them as the tour guide?
I'm afraid I won't, but I'm sure you'll have a great... Sorry, guys.
Disappointing.
Manchester United are a big attraction. Will lots of people come out and see them play? Or is the perception of Manchester United sort of damaged by the season they've had?
Oh, I think that's damaged, but I think the brand of Manchester United will see a full house at the G. We'll get 60 or 70,000 people there, I suspect. It's a big brand. I mean, I was taking forward bookings from my favourite restaurant down at Donovan's. I was just wondering, Peter, if I would put you on the list, but it seems as if you'll be going to somewhere a bit warmer, yeah, I suspect.
Which begs the question, Peter, where does the voice of football go on his travels just to get away from football?
You ask about COVID, my family and I, we've remained very cautious, not particularly for health reasons, but because it's such a hassle to travel,
yep,
these days, that we're actually staying in England. We've hired a little cottage down near the coast, and nice, we're going to have a couple of weeks down there. So it's a very unflashy summer holiday for the Drury household this time, but we're going to enjoy that. But listen, Manchester United at the MCG, fantastic. What a scene, what a venue. And I hope people enjoy them. And listen, by the way, for the narrative of the Premier League, we need Manchester United because, yep, as you say, they're such a huge brand. We need them to be strong.
Peter, thanks so much for coming on. What an amazing season. Enjoy the time off.
Thank you so much, guys. Love talking with you.
And the dinner date's still there, Peter, whenever you come.
Thank you. I have the most expensive one on the menu.
Yeah, it's okay.
Peter Drury, the voice of football.
Scoop can afford it.
Well, I'm paying him. One of our favourites. And we didn't even mention the fact that Leeds United actually stayed in the Premier League. They needed to win.
Yeah.
And they had a late winner from one of their players, Jack Harrison.
How many people do you think will turn up? Manchester United playing who?
That's a great question. Melbourne Victory?
Yeah. I think 70 might push it.
No, 70 is about the over-unders.
Because a lot of people will come from interstate, I suspect.
The problem is that no one cares about Melbourne Victory. Mm-hmm. And I say that with love, but that's fact. And
well, not no one.
Sorry, no one, relatively speaking.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Jared, you know I love soccer. I only found out on the weekend that the semi-finals were on.
Yeah, I did say that. Yep.
Did anyone else know that the A-League semi-finals were on? Lawrence didn't know. And Lawrence produces the show. So there you go. I've just got a terrible feeling that if Ronaldo last minute says, I'm not coming.
There's no way known Ronaldo will be here.
Well, then you lose 15,000
right.
for him not coming, I reckon.
Whereas if he comes and
Pogba comes and they name a half decent side,
yeah.
they might get 80.
I reckon when before you buy a ticket, you should be getting a guarantee that those two blokes are on the park.
Yeah, you can't give that though, can you?
You can't, but that's why I suspect it'll be. Look, if they turn up, fantastic. But don't be. Look, buyer beware. Don't buy a ticket expecting him to turn up until they do.
More sports today after this.